Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
For a man. Gregor can't shoot. Poked on net. Bortolo. Gregor shoots. He scores. The kid from Beaumont, Alberta, just about 30 minutes from here, bangs it in and gets the Sharks on the board at 9:44 of the first.
Well, just how we competed. I know the score certainly isn't what we wanted, but you know, you get down 2-0 and battle the way we did and hung around, and obviously the shorthanded goal's a tough one to take, but we battle back, get a power play goal, and you know, we're hanging around. So just our resiliency. You know, it's as we've touched on, at the end of the day, talent usually wins out. And that's what happened again tonight. I mean, this is a team that's fighting to win a Stanley Cup. I think they're certainly capable of doing it. You can certainly see the growth of them throughout the last 3 or 4 years. Sometimes you got to lose before you learn how to win. And this group looks ready. You know what? You know, playing Colorado and Winnipeg and Vegas and, you know, over the last few weeks, to me, this team looks as ready as anybody.
This is the end, my only friend, the end of our...
Good morning, good morning. Melodramatic, I know, but it made me laugh. So here's the big takeaway after 82 games of Sharks hockey this year, and it goes back to what General Manager Mike Greer said at his introductory press conference, that they might have to take a step back in order to take a step forward. Well, this was definitely a step back, and the hope is that we are now ready for the step forward, which means we are now heading into one of the biggest off-seasons in franchise history. Lottery, draft, free agency, big change, everything is on the table. I think the real question is whether or not any of us are truly ready for what might hold in terms of changes. And, you know, there has been talk in the past that Tomas Hertl was the only guy who was not on the table in terms of a trade. I don't know if that was a motivational tactic. I don't know if that was the reality. That's just what we heard. But that's kind of the idea that you should probably keep in the back of your head as you head into this offseason, that, you know, big names, fan favorites, they could be on the move. That means a guy like Logan Couture, who is, you know, stated time and time again how much this franchise means to him and how much he wants to be here. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that he will be here forever. I mean, we have to take these questions and understand how we'd react to them. You know, we can talk about Erik Karlsson in that way. We can talk about any player in that way. And I think that, you know, this is going to be the continuing ideal of what Mike Greer is trying to do with this franchise because, you know, obviously you took a step back this year. You went from being a team that was, you know, relatively in the picture with Bob Bugner for the last couple of years. And then, you know, this year they definitely had a less talented roster. They traded away more talent than they ever have in recent memory and, you know, ever in my memory. And now they are at a point where they can hopefully build themselves back up. And hopefully that's already a process that has begun. And that's with getting experience at the NHL level for William Eklund once again, and for Tomas Bortolo, and for Tristan Robinson, for Daniil Gushin. And we can go down the list of all the different players that saw time this year and hope that that experience and that overall ability to understand what was being asked of them will take them into the offseason and allow them to have the ability to assess everything and make that plan on how to get better. Because, you know, anybody knows how to play in the moment, right? But you have to be able to look at all these games and be able to figure out how to make yourself better. And, you know, we saw that Kevin LeBanc and Noah Gregor saw extended sit downs earlier this year and improved their game. I mean, that's something that is obviously not a card you can always play, but again, these players that did get the chance to come up, your Bortolos, your Eklunds, your Gushins, you know, did they figure out what they needed to figure out? Do we see from them the improvements that we needed to see? Does Mike Greer and David Quinn, do they have a greater understanding of what these players can bring to the table and how they can help the Sharks and what the future has to hold? You know, we didn't get a chance to see a Shakir Makhmadoulin. That's one that we're all waiting to see what he does the entirety of the offseason. I know the Barracuda season isn't over yet, but it's like, okay, these guys have got to come in and prove themselves, and they've got to be part of a core group that is the next generation that wants it as bad as the Logan Couture's of the world. And I hope that Logan is still around when the Sharks take that next step. I don't know that he will be, but I hope he is. And the same thing for Erik Karlsson. And we can go down the list of the rosters. And yeah, I mean, there's bigger names in the overall pantheon of Sharks lore, like Mark-Edward Vlasic. You know, I don't know how much longer he's going to be around. But, you know, you hope these guys are able to now be at least a bridge. And maybe they get another run while they're still here in San Jose. Maybe they get the opportunity to have another chance at a cup here in San Jose before their time comes to an end. Because we know there has not been a definitive timeline given from this front office, from this staff. And listen, I don't blame them for that. They are in the process of taking it from one era to the next, and you can't have immediate feedback. You can't have the immediate answers, and they don't want to put themselves in a bind. So that's fine. But I think the greater reality is that we just don't know as of yet. Like, we don't know when this team is going to be able to turn it around and really take the bigger steps, right? Like, this year was the step back, and I hope next year will be a step forward. But how far of a step forward? Does that mean they're in the playoff hunt? Does that mean they're in a wild card position in the last couple of weeks of the year? Like, that's what remains to be seen. And you hope that, you know, big strides from the Bordalos and the Eklunds of the world will allow you to do that. And a Shakir Makhmadoulin, and that he'll be ready to be a part of everything that we see with the San Jose Sharks. And you get a Luke Cunningham back healthy and more growth from Nico Sturm and Steven Lawrence. And, you know, you start to put these pieces together and you can see a bit more of a core identity of what Mike Greer and what David Quinn are trying to put together here in San Jose. But again, it takes time. I mean, that is the be-all, end-all. It takes time to develop a team, to make them into your identity, to mold them, to give them all the tools they need, to get them to understand your system. That's a big part of what, you know, the Sharks are trying to do right now, and it doesn't happen overnight. We all would like it if it did just happen instantly, but it doesn't. You know, these are all the questions that are being asked of the entirety of the squad, the coaching staff, the front office. How do we make this hum the way we want it to? How do we get this motor running? How do we put this together so that we are, you know, in a place where we can have long-term success once again? Because you don't want to just get back for 1 year and then fall off. And sometimes that means it takes a little bit longer to build yourself up to that level. Now, again, having success ahead of schedule is never a bad thing. But, you know, you look at what happened to Calgary this year. Everybody thought they were ready to take those next steps, and they had big, big problems all year long. I mean, we've seen that happen in Vancouver. Everyone said, oh, this team is ready to take those next steps after last year and the way they ended. Well, that didn't happen. Those are two teams that a lot of people had in the playoff picture that ended up not making it. And the Kings, you know, they've been ahead of schedule in terms of their rebuild to get back to where they want to be. But again, it's been a long battle for them. And granted, yes, they were able to win some championships along the way, but to get back to where they've been for the last 2 years, it took some time. I mean, look at where Anaheim has been over the past couple of years. You know, you look at how long it's taken Detroit. I mean, again, it takes time to put yourself in a position to have long-term success. And that means that sometimes you don't always have the quick, sexy answers. And sometimes that means you've got to slowly build your way to the top. But I do think there are signs of optimism for what they've been trying to do here. And you look no further than the superstars. Logan Couture had a very, very good season. Erik Karlsson had a career year. Kevin LeBanc and Noah Gregor took big strides forward in their game. Nico Sturm was more effective than he's ever been at any point in his career. Same story for a guy like Stevie Lawrence. You know, he was making growth and taking steps all year long. You see the ability for young guys to come in and be a part of what the Sharks are trying to do. William Eklund looked better this time around than he did a year ago. And then you look at an acquisition like Thrun, who was able to come in and perform at the NHL level. That doesn't happen by accident. That doesn't happen, you know, by a fluke. They saw something they wanted. They were able to go out there and get it, and it immediately came in and had a place at the NHL level and was able to prove themselves as being capable. And that's essentially where we are right now. Like, it's not about the outcomes in the game because, listen, these last three games, it was not a favorable schedule for the Sharks in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, you had to look at what you were seeing. Were guys still fighting? Yes. Were the young guys trying to prove themselves? Yes. Was the group still tight? Yes. Those are the things you look for because You can't really carry that momentum of winning from one year to the next, but the core identity of the team, the attitudes the guys have, the way the guys fight for each other, the expectations, the standard, that can be carried from one year to the next. And I think that's a bit of the building block that we saw this year, is that do we see a reestablishment of Sharks culture? Did we see guys sticking up for themselves? Do we see, you know, just the overall harmony inside the locker room? Was there any disruption there? Was there any question to Logan Couture's leadership? Was there anything that was left unanswered in that capacity? And I think we got a definitive answer in that this team plays hard for each other and that anyone coming in will have to do the same. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. We're also going to talk to Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Hurdle tried to center it, went off a skate. He takes it back from Couture. 10 seconds left on the penalty on Kostin. In exchange there with a bump man, Peterson. Sends it all the way back to the point. Almost penalty over. Into the slot. Now to Hurdle. He shoots. Scar! Steven Lawrence in front of the net might have gotten his stick on that as Tomas Hurdle was going to the far stick side from the right wing circle. And that puck got tipped in. And with 1:11 to play in this period, the Sharks get their second goal of the game, and it looks like it's going to be Steven Lawrence.
Yeah, I really liked the way his last six weeks went. I thought he really played with a good mindset. There was no BS to his game. He played to his strengths, and he got rewarded. And, you know, I really liked his game the last 6-7 weeks. I thought he really turned the corner and made some great strides. And really happy for him. He's a great kid. He's coachable, works hard, so it's good to see him get rewarded. And, you know, he was going out there shifting and shift out just to do the right thing. And when you do that, you get rewarded statistically.
That's a goal from Steven Lawrence. And David Quinn after the game talking about Steven Lawrence and the direction his game has gone in. And that's something that I've been pretty consistently talking about, is that, you know, all of these new Sharks that came in this year, are they showing growth? Did they have productive years? When you look at Steven Lawrence, when you look at Nico Sturm, those are two that I point to particularly as having great skill and great improvement at the same time. I think Luke Cunningham was headed in that direction as well. It's unfortunate that we never got to see Nudavara and what he was capable of due to injury. But, you know, when you do look at what we've seen from Lawrence and Sturm and then some of the younger guys and the development they had, again, it makes you very, very hopeful for what is coming next for the San Jose Sharks. They obviously have been working to get their cap situation under control. And then, you know, you look at the next tier of free agents they might be able to acquire and bring in and think about the improvement that might occur under the system here. So these are all things we're paying attention to as the Sharks build themselves for a future. Quinn was also asked if the road trip provided clarity as for what the Sharks need to do heading towards that future.
Yeah, I mean, there's clarity from our end about what we need to do and what we're going to do, and we feel very confident we're going to get there. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen, and, you know, we feel really good about our direction despite our record.
And in a year like this, where it is a step back, you are looking for as much feedback, for as much clarity, for as much information as you can possibly get, because that's how you maximize a bad year. You look at what you have, you look at what the other teams have, you look at where you need to go, you look at what you need to do. I mean, I go no further than, you know, the netminding. That needs to be better next year. I go no further than, you know, being safe with the puck and understanding what your role is in certain situations, and that needs to be better for the San Jose Sharks. You know, don't make life any harder on yourself than the NHL already makes it, and the Sharks consistently made their life difficult. But we also know that the Sharks can get faster, and they can get bigger, and they can get cleaner, and they can get more talented. These are all things we are hoping to see in the offseason and off seasons to follow, because it's not like this is just going to be the only version of this team the Sharks will ever see. No, they're going to continue to get better. They're going to continue to bring in talent, and they are going to continue to build towards a better, you know, process when all is said and done, so that we don't get too many more situations like this where they are out on there on the ice and completely overmatched by their opposition. This is what David Quinn had to say, you know, just being at the end of the season.
You know, disappointing, obviously. I know, obviously, you look at our record and can jump to a lot of conclusions, but I loved coaching this group. I thought they came to work every day. They were a fun group to coach. They worked hard. They were coachable. And at the end of the day, we just weren't good enough. And we know that, and we're going to get better. And, you know, there are guys in here that are going to be a big part of what we got moving forward here. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little time to get out of the situation we've been in, but we're going to get there.
And I will give David Quinn a lot of credit for that. He never seemed like he was in a bad mood coming into the building. After the games, yeah, he might have been a little bit bummed out at the end result, but he was always excited for the games. He was always excited for the practice. He was always excited for the players. That, to me, is a sign that there is a lot of good going on here despite the record, because we've all seen these situations in sports where everybody just seems done, for lack of a better expression. That's not what was happening here in San Jose. This was a team that ultimately, when you get down to it, wasn't good enough. Now, could they have been better? Oh, yeah, for sure. But at the same time, you have to look at the reality of what it was. It was a lot of the newcomers. It was outgoing talent like a Brent Burns, and then later in the year, Timo Meier. But it was not a situation that was going to lend itself towards easy success. Not that there is any easy success in the NHL per se, but you know, we do remember what it was like previously when the Sharks had, you know, some of the top players in the world on this squad and were going out there and, you know, in a position to make a deep run every single year. And of course, you put yourself in that position by getting better. Tristan Robbins was asked about, you know, what he has planned for the summer in terms of how he's going to make himself a better player.
You know what? I think maybe take, a week or two off and then getting right back at it. So I think this is the biggest summer of my career so far. There's a lot of stuff I want to get done here this summer to prepare myself for this next level.
Andy was asked what he wants to work on.
I think just all the above, like I said before. I think, you know, continuing to round out my game and rounding out myself, on and off the ice, I think will just, you know, help me make that that jump to the next level.
Thomas Bortolo was also asked about what will be a big summer for him as he looks to make his way into turning into a consistent NHL player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I've done, obviously, except the last summer because I didn't really have one. I think, you know, throughout the summers and in the past, I've been pretty consistent just, developing and adding stuff to my game that I need to add. And, it's just going to be the same thing kind of going into this summer, but this time I'll have more time to do it. So just spend a lot of time in the gym, a lot of time on the ice, you know, obviously trying to perfection some little parts of my game, but it's going to be the main focus.
And he also talked about the feedback that he's been getting from his coaches this time around at the NHL level.
Move your feet, make plays, and, you know, always stay in movement, and, you know, things will go my way. You know, obviously I know what I can do, and I know, you know, how what makes me successful, and they know it too, and they've been great with me.
And again, Robbins, Bortolo, Gushin, Eklund, you go down the list of these guys that have had a big time in their careers to once again learn about what they're good at, what they're not good at, where they need to improve, what they can lean on. This is the most important takeaway out of this period of San Jose Sharks hockey. What are these younger players learning to put themselves in a better step to go forward? All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to talk to Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Welcome back to Morning Tide after the final regular season game of the year. Yes, there will be more Tides coming your way in the offseason, but we are concluding the regular season. Yesterday, I sat down with Sheng Peng of NBC Sports California and San Jose Hockey Now, asking him about a multitude of topics. If you want to hear what you're not hearing in this one, go listen to yesterday's edition of the build-up game, 82 versus Edmonton. But here we are talking about the success that Erik Karlsson has had this year.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of health, being a little healthier, even to some of it is systemic, where he's, I think, encouraged to take chances a little more. I think last year with Bob, and hey, you know what? Bob got points out of these guys, mm-hmm. you know, more points than Quinn has. And it was a more defensive system, though, that catered less to the strengths of Erik Karlsson or Brent Burns. And credit to both of Erik and Brent that I think that they tried to play the system that the coach wanted last year, even if it might have hurt their numbers a little bit, and that sort of thing. Whereas I think with Quinn, I think Quinn has encouraged Karlsson a little bit more. Not to be in extremes here. Not that Bob Bugner put the shackles on Erik Karlsson or whatever. That wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. But was there maybe a little more caution that Bugner asked of Karlsson that maybe Quinn has? And I think there has been. Just for example, I'm not pulling this out of the air. At midseason, I need to look right now, but at midseason, Erik was, I think, in the top three, top five in the league in stretch pass rate. This year, those stretch passes are very risky passes, obviously. Yeah. Right. And last year, Karlsson was like 100th, and Burns also was behind too. And those are things that both of them like to do. But you know, Bob, I think, was trying to be more conservative last year and try to kind of scratch out more 3-2, 2-1 kind of wins, which kind of worked for the Sharks early in the season, right? Last year when they were in playoff hunt, and James Reimer was incredible at the beginning of last season. And so kind of worked out a little bit for a little while last year. But anyway, that kind of tells you, though, of sort of the a little more freedom that Erik has had to maybe be himself this year. And so maybe you see that in the stick handling, too.
What do you think has happened with Tomáš Hertl this year in terms of the extended stretches without scoring? Obviously, he scored in the first game and then not again, I think, till like game 11. And then, you know, to start off the new year, he had quite a stretch, you know, in 2023 where he went without scoring. What does he need to do to recapture that consistency?
Well, yeah, I'm digging into that a little bit more. I've spoken with Tomáš and David Quinn about it and other people about it quite a bit. But definitely, I think that there has been an uptick in his play since roughly the All-Star break. The first thing that anyone thinks is, oh, he got healthy over the All-Star break. But as far as I know, there isn't an injury. And, you know, I've asked around and I haven't discovered anything like that. Could be some people think that it's kind of just the weight of the contract and that sort of thing, just the way the responsibility of just like he's got to be the man. And I think that like any player, right, like it's good to know your limitations. And Tomáš Hertl may be making $8 million or whatever a year, right? A $65 million guy, but he doesn't have to be Connor McDavid. He doesn't have to be this or that. He just has to be Tomáš Hertl. And if the team around him is better, then, you know, then his play is, you know, will be better too. And so maybe that's something that he has to do. Maybe not, you know, I know it's a little cliched, but maybe not care so much mm-hmm. and not put it all on his shoulders if the team isn't winning. Because if the team isn't winning, well, it's not. I know fans want to blame the big money guys like Couture and Vlasic and Karlsson and Hertl. But it's a lot of it's the depth around them. Again, that goes back to the drafting and the inability to fill the holes around them with, you know, with cheap homegrown. Well, keyword is cheap and young talent, whether it's drafted or plucked from elsewhere. And so the Sharks just haven't been able to replenish the depth around these guys. So I think one thing that I think might be promising, I'm going to dig more into it, is that people I talk to don't think it's a physical thing with Hertl mm-hmm. in terms of just like he's declining because he's about to cross into 30, which does happen to players. And so if it's not that, then yeah, maybe he just had a bad year and maybe we can hope for better next year.
Yeah. What do you think the future holds for Logan Couture? Because in my opinion, he's a guy that probably doesn't get as much credit with his game as he should, just because of his two-way ability and out there on the kill. And, you know, he just makes smart hockey. I mean, I know the joke was with Burns about Pavelski, you know, it's hard to lose a step if you never have it. But, you know, Logan's game has never been predicated on his speed. It's been predicated on his mind. No greater example than the overtime versus Vegas a couple of weeks ago where, you know, he sees the passing lane, steps in, intercepts it, and then wins it in overtime. It's like, that's not, you know, something at his, you know, quote-unquote advanced age, like that's not going to go away because he's not as fast as he used to be. Like, he's still the smart player that he's always been, and it seems like he can continue to be a playmaker. That said, you know, Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah, well, you know, Logan is still relatively, you know, he's not into his late 30s yet. And so I think I think there's every reason to believe that he can just kind of keep this up. He has been, you know, he's kept a certain standard over the years. Mm-hmm. Even again, you know, if people look at his contract and ask, oh, why isn't he leading the Sharks to the playoffs? Well, you know, he's not the reason why, you know, he was offered a big contract. He took it. You know, it's not on Logan to be like, well, you know, maybe I'm more of a $7-6 million player a couple years from now. I'm gonna take less money. That's not on Logan to figure out. If Doug Wilson puts, you know, $8 million in front of you a year, you take it, you know. And so I think there is every reason, like you said, because a lot of his game is predicated on smarts. Of course, there is sort of a point though where you need to skate at a certain level, right? We saw that even with the greatest and smartest of players of our generation, like Jaromir Jagr, Joe Thornton, right? At a certain point, they just couldn't move quite enough. But of course, for those guys, you know, Jaromir lost in his mid-40s, Joe into his early-40s. And so Logan is far from those points. So I think it is a viable, reasonable to expect Logan to kind of keep going just kind of as he has.
And as a final one for you, you know, two guys that were sat down for extended periods of time this year, Kevin LeBanc and Noah Gregor. Obviously, Gregor's in a different contract situation, but did those two players show growth enough to make you think that they do have a greater role in the Sharks going forward? While noting, obviously, you know, Gregor is, he would have to be, you know, offered a qualifying offer here pretty soon.
I think Gregor has a little bit more so because he's a little younger. So I think there's a little more kind of just in his runway that he can kind of evolve his game to what the coaching staff wants more. Kevin being a little bit older, I think there are still question marks about that, though. Kevin has shown some signs here, obviously, over the last month or so to himself. I do think definitely the jury's still out on them. You know, Noah is a young player, but he's not that young. He's 24. And also, too, he did kind of do the same thing last year where he sort of showed a bit more game to end the season, got people excited and did not go into this season sort of the way he ended last year. And so question mark on that. And with Kevin, you know, his offensive talent is still, you know, that's one thing that's been nice all this season for him. He had obviously the shoulder season-ending shoulder surgery last year and wasn't able to, only had 6 points, I think, in 21 games last year. He showed this year that offensive talent is very much still there. Didn't go away with his injury and didn't go away with the scratches or the, you know, multiple demotions down to the fourth line or so. And so that's still there. But with LeBanc, the question is always the other parts of his game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is he going to play just enough defense, not take, you know, penalties, offensive zone penalties, that sort of thing, where no one's asking him to win a Selke. But, you know, can he do enough of the other areas in the game, the backup game part, right? When he's not scoring, when he's not helping with the scoring chances, right? You know, is there enough backup game there? Whereas Noah, maybe not only is he younger, but Noah doesn't have a Kevin LeBanc's natural offensive talent, but you know, Noah has a little bit more backup game just insofar as Noah is stronger and more physical. Yeah. And so I think, and I think too, that there's less expectations on Noah's game too. You know, if Noah tops out as a good third liner, I think you're really happy with the Sharks. Kevin LeBanc, with his offensive ability and his contract, you know, you expect more. And I'm not sure if you're going to get that more, but it's understandable why you expect more because you see, of course, those flashes of talent.
Again, that was Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California joining us here on Morning Tide. There is a first half of this interview you didn't hear. Check that out on Game 82, the build-up versus Edmonton. But as always, a big thanks to Sheng Peng for joining us all year on the Sharks Audio Network. And like I said, this is the last regular season Morning Tide, but there will be more Morning Tides to come, especially in the coming weeks. We're on Saturday talking to all the players, or as many as possible, at the last locker room clear out. So we're going to get their thoughts on the season as a whole, on their summers. We'll be bringing that to you right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Of course, I imagine there is going to be news coming for you all summer long. This is going to be one of the most important and biggest off seasons in the history of the San Jose Sharks. So I think that will give us a lot of talking points and a lot to get into. And of course, we've got the draft. We'll be talking to players. There's all sorts of stuff that we are going to be getting into. So I am definitely excited for that. I'm excited for where the franchise is headed. I think this is going to be the worst, right? Like, we got through the bad part, and now it is the upward climb, which, yes, will not be easy, but it will be entertaining. Again, it's been great talking to you every morning after the games, guys. Keep it tuned to the Sharks Audio Network all summer long. We'll have all the Sharks coverage you need. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off on the 2022-2023 season.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.